You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Welcome to Side B of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. Side A, we talked about Oscars 2015. We talked about the NBA trade deadline. We talked about who we like in the Eastern and Western Conference in the NBA. And we had a really depressing, like, five-minute conversation about what's going on with Bobby Shmurda. But you should check that on clockradiospeakers.com. I'm here with Armand. Armand, what's going on?
What up? I'm in the building. Holla at your boy. Early.
Thank you. I was just about to lean into the mic and say early really quietly, but I appreciate you stepping in. So last week we talked about Drake's surprise mixtape / album. And you and I had this whole conversation about, is it a mixtape? Is it an album? And I think when you and I were texting, I don't think we did on Twitter. I think you and I were texting this week and I said that this Big Sean album really provided context to that conversation to me.
Yeah. That was a side conversation. Yeah.
And I want to just put that out there and get people thinking about that while we run through the album, because I want to loop back to that at the end. But so it's out. It's out in stores today. We're recording this February 24th, 2015. Big Sean's. This is his third album.
Finally Famous. Hall of Fame.
Dark Sky Paradise. Big Sean's third album. He has a history of having, correct me if I'm wrong, Armand, I would say he has a history of having pretty good, like, dope stuff on mixtapes, specifically that Detroit mixtape, as well as having a surprising amount of hit singles.
I would say that more than anything. To me, given the new crop of artists, especially you and I talking about Big Crit, him basically having five albums because his mixtapes are albums, I'm going to go ahead and say Detroit is an album. So this is his fourth album. It's his third retail album. But Detroit was an album.
This is his fourth album.
His fourth album, yo. So, like, for me, Detroit was an anomaly in the sense of his other mixtapes weren't really that good.
Okay. Right. So you treat Detroit as, yeah.
Yeah. Detroit was like the whoa. Detroit. Right. I think Detroit for me was better. Was better because I had no expectations going into it.
Right. I wasn't, now you, like, got me. Genre. Now you got me wanting to go look at that.
Yeah, I should. I should have listened to that album again.
Like Higher.
Yeah.
How It Feel. Yeah, there's some stuff on there. You know, I forgot. It's funny. Like, he's been working with Janae for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Key Wayne, obviously, for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But your second point about him having surprisingly, or singles that do surprisingly well, very well on the charts and on the radio is very accurate. My Last was bigger than I thought it was going to be. Marvin Gaye and Chardonnay was huge. What other singles has he had?
The Dance remix.
Yeah, Dance remix was big. He could have had one with Moolah. Could have one Moolah. missed that one.
I feel like it's funny. I feel like Moolah kind of was ahead of its time.
I can see that. I can see that. They tried to bring it back with, like, was French on, like, the remix or something like that?
Yeah. And then they totally messed up with Guap.
Yeah, Guap was terrible. Guap was horrible.
And it's funny, like, you think about, remember when 10 to 10 came out and we made fun of that hook?
Yeah.
Tell me that doesn't sound like a bunch of people right now.
Yeah. I mean, remember around the time of Thank Me Later, it was a whole issue of the Big Sean flow.
Mm.
You know, who was doing that start and stop thing? You know, that Big Sean was writing for Drake and Kanye and a lot of top tier artists or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, you know, artists can sort of, like, birth a style that doesn't go wild. And what people say is it's not about who does it first, it's who does it best. So, totally. I need to go back and listen to that. I just remember, like, him on Cabin Fever, which I need to listen to that again. Super underrated mixtape. It was about that time to pull out some Wiz Khalifa mixtapes. Where he said, like, Kevin Costner, Oh My Goshner, or something like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. We're gonna get into that, though.
So, all this to say, Big Sean, he's kind, you know, and there's an interesting, you know, I kind of want to bring that up because there are definitely places on this album where you're kind of like, is this a Big Sean track, or is this song here because of somebody else?
Are you talking about production wise, or
I mean just the feel of the song? But I feel like that's true of a lot of, I feel like that's not an uncommon thing, but I guess in general I would say I think people forget how many, like, pretty big songs Big Sean has had. Leading up to this album, he put out what is probably got to be the biggest song of his career, right?
Which is
I Don't F With You.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. So he put out like four songs. Was it back September, October?
Yeah, yeah.
Fourth quarter, the original version of Paradise, I Don't F With You, and Jit Juke. Fourth quarter is really dope.
Yeah, that beat switch on fourth quarter is nuts.
I always like Paradise. We'll talk about that in a minute. Talk about I Don't F With You. So he put that out. I Don't F With You kind of takes off on its own. It wasn't even like a single that they pushed at first, but they gave it a push.
I think they always knew that was going to be the single.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they knew. They pulled the trigger on that really, really quick.
They did.
Or they did it and they sort of had like a budget and stuff in place, like expecting, like almost expecting, all right, so which one of these records is going to hit the most? And then whichever one hit the most immediately, that's the one
right.
they went with.
Right.
But I think they knew. I think they knew. Because I Don't F With You, like, is so different from all those other songs.
Yeah.
Like, I think they knew. I think right. they were banking on that hitting, and then it hit. So they were able to, like,
but
clean
I,
it.
I think it hit harder than they thought it would.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. I wouldn't be surprised with that.
And then, so we knew that this album was coming out. What was the second leak from it? Was it Blessings? Aside from Paradise and I Don't F With You, I mean, the first like other leak, I think it was Blessings, right?
Album, I think so. Let me pull up the track list, and I believe you're right though.
So Blessings, the album version features Drake. There's another version out that also has Kanye on it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like over the last week or two, you know, a couple other tracks were like released on iTunes as pre-order tracks or whatever else. But that was pretty much it.
There was a freestyle over Used To over the Drake
right,
record.
Right,
and
right.
Yesterday, he put out a record, Me, Myself, and I, with the Beyonce sample.
Yeah.
So, and then he dropped the video for
the intro
last night, like right before it went on iTunes, right. which I really like that idea. I like that idea.
You think Blessings gets a video? We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go track by track, though. So track one, Dark Sky, Skyscrapers. It's definitely produced by some guy named Rap Got Beats, which is, God, we need better names for producers. And in some places I've seen Boy Wonder also helping on that. I like this song. I think it sounds like an intro. It feels like an intro. It works as an intro. What do you think about it?
It just reminds me of Dreams and Nightmares intro.
Interesting. I can see that. You think it's biting?
Sounds it's old. Bite. It's just biting? Is it a bite? Is it a diss? Nah, it's not a bite. It's just that sort of thing works where it's like, you know, everything's happy and serene and just makes a sharp turn that goes in a different direction. Like,
so how do you feel about Scott? How do you feel about Dark Sky?
The beat is cool, but you're gonna hear something very repetitious from me with okay. this album. Like, I listen to this album a lot.
Yeah.
Admittedly more than some other albums that we've reviewed on this show. And you know why I had to listen to it a lot? Because I had to stop because his rapping would give me headaches.
Really?
And I'm not saying that like in a diss, like I'm not trying to diss or be funny. Like, I would literally get headaches listening to Big Sean rap. Yeah.
That seems a little excessive.
Nah. No. Okay. I'm not joking. I'm seriously like, why am I getting these headaches? I think like Sean technically, from a technical standpoint, can rap.
Yes.
He can rap. He can string words together. He has a flow. His flow is dope. All that stuff. From a technical standpoint, he can rap. I think what gives me a headache about him is that on this and many other songs on this album, he says absolutely nothing. Or he says the same thing over and over and over. And the crazy part is as I thought about this, I thought about other artists that I like whose content is very similar in nature. And I'm not listening to them for like some deep revelatory experience or anything like that. But I don't know what it is about Big Sean, but it's just like, I could not take long. I had to listen to this album in like doses. I had to listen to bunches of tracks, like the first four, then the next four, then the next five, then the next three. Like, it was weird. It's really weird, dude. Like, for real, for real. So with this intro, like, you know, it's not a bad song. He's just not rapping about anything. And the beat is dope, but I heard it and I heard it better on Dreams and Nightmares.
Yeah, except the problem with Dreams and Nightmares is that Meek Mill's on.
listen, if you let this generation tell you, like, that's like the greatest intro ever. Like, they're putting that up there with Dynasty, with the Ruler's Back, with Knowledge Guy, like it's up there, like as far as intros. So I don't know. Maybe it's because you and I aren't in the club anymore. That might be it, and that's where that record flourishes. I don't know.
I mean, that is true. I'm certainly not doing anything in a club these days. But
no bottles full of bub.
No. I don't need to hear Meek yelling at me. That's interesting. I mean, Big Sean, he certainly definitely has some repetitive subject matter on this album. That is absolutely true. But let's move on to I don't know. I like Dark Sky. I like it. It's cool. Let's talk about Blessings.
Okay.
Produced by Vinyls and Alan Ritter.
Is that a producer? Is that like when who was that produce? Was that Craig Coleman who has a production credit on one of Lupe's albums? Didn't he do like Daydreaming or something like that?
Yeah, why? No, Alan Ritter. He's worked with Vinyls and Boy Wonder on stuff before.
Oh, okay. Alan Ritter just sounds like a record executive's name. Not like Cameron would shout out on the intro. Like, shout out to Koch Records, Alan Ritter.
So yeah, like we said, this leaked out a few weeks ago. This is definitely the Drake stimulus package.
Yeah. And he should have put the version with Kanye on this album.
I agree with that. I'm surprised
two Big Sean versus one unnecessary.
Oh, it's interesting. I suspect the reason why is because they didn't, if you think about the sequencing, I don't think they wanted the Kanye tracks back to back like that.
Sure, sure.
But and they could have fixed that.
Yeah, they could have fixed that. Well, I mean, he was probably adamant about we're going to open the album with Blessings and
right.
and All Your Fault. Because I don't have a problem with the sequencing on this album. Not really.
I don't. I'll talk about that later. The first half of the sequencing is actually really great. But Blessings, it's funny, I call this a Drake stimulus package. I probably enjoy this more than any record on Drake's album. Yeah.
Hmm.
You don't think so, huh?
It's really interesting. I go back and I listen to If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, and like the novelty of it is already beginning to wear off.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and there are definitely some records like that mixtape / album / whatever definitely has records, but
yeah,
it's records. It's funny, you talk about Big Sean's content being repetitive, the sound of that project is repetitive.
And shout out to my DJ who pointed that out first day. He was like, it sounds like one long song. And I was like, nah, but.
And sometimes like that can be what you need. Like, you know, that second Mobb Deep album.
Right.
Hell on Earth. That sounds like.
Even then, like Hell on Earth, like not too many of the songs run into each other. There are a couple.
Right.
But it's not like this Drake album.
Right.
You're right.
So. But Blessings, like that hook is, I think you used this term last week. You called Drake's hooks A1 hooks.
Yeah, that hook is out of here.
Yeah, Blessed is, yeah.
Yeah, that hook is out of here. I've just seen it.
Yeah.
It's out of here. You already got people saying, you know, instead of saying I'm feeling good or whatever, you already got people saying I'm way, way, way up.
Right. Like, every time I hear the hook, I just want to do the you know, the prayer hands emoji like that.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm way up. I feel blessed. No, it's, you know, it's a really dope hook. I like Drake on it. I like Big Sean on it. The beat has grown on me. So I really like this record. I think if this is a single, I think that's a really good move. I think there's a couple interesting songs that could be singles on here, but we'll talk about, I mean, so you, but you like Blessings a lot.
No.
What?
It's all right. It's cool.
You don't like the beat?
Again, I don't have a problem with it. It's just like, it's cool.
Oh,
it's cool. I don't feel any other way about it. The hook is out of here. The beat is cool. I don't like two Big Sean verses.
Yeah. If you don't like Big Sean on here, you're going to have problems with this entire album.
Man.
Okay. Interesting. Track 3, All Your Fault, featuring Kanye West, produced by one of the weirder production lineups I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, yeah, let me see this. Oh, let me hear this.
Kanye West.
Okay.
OG Webby, whoever that is. So, okay. Rap Genius still has the old production credits that people had, but I'm going by Wikipedia, which, considering the album came out today, I'm guessing is more accurate now because it got changed. And yeah, I write all this stuff down when I keep my notes because I'm a nerd.
Happens.
Nasheem Myrick.
Say word.
Lee Stone.
Wow.
DJ Mano, who's no longer doing stuff with Good Music. And
what was the last one you said? Lee Major?
Lee Stone.
Lee Stone, okay.
DJ Mano.
Mano! Yo, the funniest video of DJ Mano was on YouTube. It's just like the Yeezy tour. It's the Yeezus tour with Kanye just like yelling at him all the time.
Yeah,
like
that's why they don't work together anymore. And and Noah Goldstein. Like a lot of people on this.
Another record executive.
So the original title to this was Tom Cruise, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, the name of it. Okay. Yeah, I thought you said Deucer was Tom Cruise.
No.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know, there was a point where we were naming songs after people. That was a thing. So I ain't mad.
So how do you feel about this song?
Okay. First off, they sample, what's the name of that song?
It's How Much I Feel by Ambrosia. Right.
I like that song.
Okay.
So like, that's already like a, don't do this. You better do this right. You know what I hate? I'm not going to say okay, hate.
Go
hate
ahead. I forgot. Travis Scott also produced on this.
Okay. The one thing that bothers me about this beat is the drums they use. Not the pattern, but that kick bothers me. I don't know why. That's me being dockish.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like the drum. I don't like the kick.
Huh.
I don't know. I'm just like an 808 guy. I don't know. I guess I'm just like an 808 guy. It's all right.
Oh.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I'm hearing that this record is taking off too.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is, so this record is definitely like unmistakably, I mean, Kanye has a bunch of co-producers on it, but this is definitely like a Kanye West beat now, right? Where you've got the sample with this sort of what I would consider this new Yeezus inspired.
Yeah.
And I'll give them credit because it's definitely like, it's definitely kind of darker, but it doesn't sound like what Drake and his crew are doing, right? Like, this song sounds like nothing else on the radio right now.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's good or bad, you can decide. And to me, one thing that's really interesting is I think this song, like, you know, first of all, I really like how they kind of go like back and forth on the last verse, and they do it in an interesting way. They don't just do two bars. They sort of like alternate,
mm-hmm.
which I think is actually dope. But I think it's funny, like, Kanye, he's in the place where he knows it's not so much what you say, it's how you say it.
Right.
Big Sean still thinks it's what you say, which is why he is trying to cram every last bar on this album full of like 8 different words.
Man.
Guilty. And maybe that's a Detroit thing. Have we figured that out?
I think it's just a rappity rap thing. I mean, in Detroit is home of rappity rap. Come on, Royce 5'9", Elzai.
You forgot the patron saint of all rappity rappers everywhere.
Of course, Eminem. Yeah, so.
I mean, like an interesting example, even though I'm guessing you hate the line, is like when Kanye opens up and he does the closest thing, you know, he's got that closest thing to Michael since Janet line, but then he pauses before making, I don't know if you want to call it a grunt or a sound effect or whatever, but he basically screams. And it actually sounds dope, even though it's not a, you know, lyrical miracle schmiracle line. Like it.
Yeah, I think Kanye, being an artist, I think, you know, when he first came out, he was like the rappity rapper.
Right.
He was a rapper's rapper.
Except he wasn't like, even at his, like, except he was never as technically competent
right.
as even Big Sean is.
And I think he realized that, I think he realized his, I guess, for lack of a better word, limitations.
Yeah.
And he finagled them into this because he hasn't, the last album that he, well, I guess he rapidly rapped on Dark Twisted Fantasy. He did. But by the time he got to Graduation is when he began to figure it out, especially right. on Can't Tell Me Nothing.
Right.
So now at this point, it's just gotten progressively better in terms of, and again, Doc, you always talk about this, like the best thing for rappers to do is perform. And, you know, you always talk about, oh, well, this artist has done a lot of shows. You bring up Kendrick, where he's obviously choosing records that are going to sound better live. And this is what artists do on their second album. But like, that's a good thing. Because when you're performing those records, you're learning about breath control.
Right.
You're learning about engaging the audience and the crowd, other factors in MC-ery that you're not going to get in a booth.
Right. Like if Big Sean, now that this is out in a little while, if Big Sean does a show and if Kanye happens to pop up and they do All Your Fault, like people are going to know Kanye's first verse or at least part of it.
Yeah.
And they'll love it when he does it.
Yeah.
But I like this record. It's weird, but I like it.
Yeah.
There's definitely that Travis Scott influence, which I know you don't like, so I'm not surprised you don't like this, but I really like this opening run of tracks on here. Let's talk about your favorite song, I Don't F With You, featuring 40 Water. Produced by, got a whole litany of people, right? DJ Mustard, Kanye West, DJ Dahi, Key Wayne.
I'm assuming all those producers did the second half of the beat, and Mustard just did, you know, Mustard.
Mustard's got 3 records on here, actually. I'm really excited to talk about DJ Mustard on here. Okay. To me, like, this beat is a great example of like where modern hip hop is going, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean
mm-hmm.
by that, like, you look at that producer list and the old head inside of me wants to go, in my day, DJ Premier made a beat all by himself, you know, but, right? But there's a lot going on in this beat. Again, you can decide if you like that or not. And I don't mean that there's like 80 things that are technically difficult. I mean, there's like combining styles. There's like an outro that's totally different. There's this whole like kind of new world that we're going to, you know? I feel like when we were growing up, producers never collaborated like this.
No, we didn't grow up in that era.
And now we're not just getting producers collaborating who are like similar. Like, you know, there's a record on here that T-Minus has a beat of all things, right? It's T-Minus, but Boy Wonder has co-production. Like those two typically work together, right? But when you're sort of, now we're sort of seeing this, okay, well, what if we get DJ Mustard with the sample sound? And what if we bring in Key Wayne and DJ Dahi to do the end and all this other stuff? And it's like, huh? This song grew on me tremendously. It is a guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. I know you hate the content. I know you do.
I don't hate a lot of songs. Like, I hate this song. I hate this. It's the funny part because the beat is dope. Especially the second part. Oh, the second part, the beat is crazy, but like the content just kills it for me. Like, kills it for me.
It's a record for 13-year-olds.
I don't want my 13-year-old singing this song.
You would have sung this as a 13-year-old. You sang worst at 13 years old.
I did, but okay. I didn't. You know what? A good 60% of the stuff that I sang along and rapped along to, I had no idea what I was singing and rapping along.
Man, I listened to Let's Play House at 12.
Fam! We talked about this.
We did. We did a whole Death Row retrospective.
Like, yeah. There was some bad stuff in the mid-90s. Like, I was listening to Domino the other day. Like, Sweet Potato Pie. I had no idea what Sweet Potato Pie is. I know what it is now.
Yeah, but see.
Like, as a 9-year-old?
No, I hear you. I hear you. But I knew, everybody knew exactly what that Dog Pound record was about.
I didn't.
The album? Not Let's Play House. I mean the album.
I didn't.
You're listening to skits they're talking about?
I didn't.
Girl, you got that? No, come on. I can't sing the hook because this is a family friendly podcast. But
nah, I seriously didn't know what that was.
I knew that was the problem.
A little shelter. So yeah, just because I sang it as a 13-year-old, like I'm not gonna give it a pass. I can't. The content is just I can't. It's terrible. It's horrible.
It's not terrible. Horrible.
Yes. It is. Yes. I can't do it. Okay. Can't do it.
Okay.
But. Let me say I do like the second half of the beat with the. It sounds like a gospel record, right?
No, it's still it's Say You Love Me One More Time by DJ Rogers.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same thing that they open up with the.
Right. Oh, okay. All right. Well.
Let's talk about a beat I suspect you like,
which is
Play No Games, featuring Chris Brown and Ty Dolla $ign. Produced by Key Wayne and some guy named J. John Henry. What is it with record execs on this album?
Oh, you know what I meant to say about collaborating on production?
Yeah.
I think Jay, Drake, and Kanye are responsible for that.
I think Kanye definitely is.
Yeah.
I think that his experience being a ghost producer, basically, I think he, and I've talked about this before, I think he kind of goes above and beyond and credits people like crazy.
So yeah.
I'm assuming on that All Your Fault record, first of all, it's funny because I think when people see Kanye's name on a beat now with like eight people behind it, I think they think he's being Puff Daddy in 97, but I think it's more the opposite. I think like if somebody comes in and says, oh, you should make the hi-hats do that, they get a co-production credit. I think he's really, I want to say sensitive, but I think he's like really aware of like, no, if you're in the studio, you helped out, you get on the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our generation, you know, we grew up with the, you know, the stories of, oh, well, Puff came in and said, make this do this. And he throws a take that on it. Next thing you know, produced by Sean Puff Daddy Combs, you know?
That's why if you ever notice, and I'm sure you know this, but for our listeners, if you look at any bad boy artists off top, I can probably only think of maybe Carl Thomas. But most bad boy artists, Puff first single, ad-libs, because he gets a writer's credit for that.
Right.
He makes money off of that. So, yeah. I'm thinking Kanye is more inspired by your pop. More specifically, like a Quincy Jones Thriller. You know, even though Quincy Jones got the credit for producing that album, if you've watched any sort of documentary dealing with Michael's early albums, like, there was a litany of musicians that contributed to that project.
Right.
So I think Kanye's taking it back to that. But your point is also correct as well. Like, I think he makes sure that people, you know, get the credit they deserve.
But I actually did a little bit of reading. So for this, the Play No Games, I guess the story is this J. John Henry guy, he actually chopped the sample and then Key Wayne finished it off. So
those are Key Wayne drums.
And of course, this is a guy sample.
Yeah.
Peace of My Love.
course, classic.
How do you feel about this song?
I want to like this song a lot.
Oh, you don't like this one?
I like the beat. I like the beat. I feel like Chris Brown is doing too much on the hook.
He is.
Like,
they should have just had Ty Dolla do it.
He's doing too much on the hook. And Big Sean rapping about a whole lot of nothing again.
It's big. Why does that matter?
To me, it matters. To me, it matters. For this album, I still can't put my finger why this was so difficult to listen. Well, I don't call it difficult, but why the challenges I had in listening to this album. I'm not quite sure, but like this, okay. I think I have a theory because there's some other albums or there's some other songs where he's like, oh, okay, but I don't know. I wanted to like this song because this is my wheelhouse.
You think?
Right in my wheelhouse. But
this is the beat you've been begging me to make for years.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to send you one of the records that we did for Marcus Graham. Like, as soon as I record it, you're going to be like, are you serious? As far as a sample, like Sam, you know, Sandman flips anything.
Oh, he will. He absolutely will.
Flips anything. But yeah.
I think Play No Game should be a single.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing there's a couple of home runs.
There's at least two home runs.
Two?
I think there might be more, but like from my point of view, records that I not only think are home runs for singles, but I like.
Gotcha.
And actually, I like this whole opening run. And when I talked about, you know, the Drake album not feeling like an album or like a mixtape, I think what I was really trying to get at is it wasn't structured like a mixtape in terms of like, let's give you this kind of sound, let's give you this kind of sound, let's give you this kind of sound. And that doesn't sound fair because I'm on record as loving mid-90s hip-hop projects that don't have multiple sounds. But we know Drake can do multiple sounds, right?
Right.
It's not like Mobb Deep, where nobody wanted Mobb Deep to do a commercial record on Hell on Earth. We wanted them to do Mobb Deep and they obliged.
Right.
Right.
We didn't want Mobb Deep to do a commercial record, and then when they did, we got Hey Love.
Right, but we know Drake can do commercial records. So that's what I was really trying to get to, and that's the point I didn't make last week. And that's what listening to this album really drove home, is like the first like half of this, you're getting all these different slices.
Uh-huh.
You get the intro, you got the Drake hook in the record, you get the weird Kanye record, you get the big hit with Mustard, you got this We Could Play No Games, which is an obvious future single to me. I feel like he's just hitting all these angles, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anything else? So you don't like Play No Games, though?
I want to like it more than I like it. It's
whatever. How do you feel about Paradise, produced by Mike Will?
This is the first song where I'm like, nah, this is trash.
This beat is nasty. Mike Will obliterates this beat. I love this record. I loved it when I heard it in the fall. It's even better now.
Maybe I just don't like the beat. Or maybe I just don't like him on the hook.
I don't understand how you can not like that beat.
It's cool.
It sounds like
I've heard it before. Right. I don't know, man. I honestly don't know what it is about this album. I have an idea, but
I'm gonna be pulling teeth for the next 20 minutes here. All right. Paradise is really dope. So the difference between this and the version that was out earlier is Sean adds another verse where he goes, I mean, you want to talk about rapidy rapping, like so much so that I suspect that there was actually like a punch-in. Like, he's definitely going rapidy rap on it. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's the point. It's dope to me. But all right. What else? So let's talk. Track 7, Win Some, Lose Some, produced by T-Minus with Boy Wonder.
Okay.
Is this just like an old T-Minus beat that Boy Wonder touched up?
Yeah, I don't know. But all right, it's good to hear T-Minus back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should point out Janae's on this. How do you feel about this record?
I like this record.
And this is the song I don't like.
And this is why we do Clock Radio Speakers.
If you stick through the first 2 minutes, the song picks up. But this song is slow. And it kind of works. Like, the sequencing saves this song. Because you get this whole run up, and then Win Some, Lose Some is a total change of pace. But nah, I'm good.
This record is dope.
If I'm making a 1.5, this is the first one to go.
This record is dope. I think my problem with Sean is Sean tells narratives really well.
Mm.
Sean is a better story rapper than people give him credit for.
Okay.
And this lyrically is a song. Like, okay, yeah, its content is different, but like, there's some other songs on the album where he's telling a story, almost like the joint on his last album. I didn't like the joint with Nicki. I didn't like the content, but like
he told a story. I forgot about that record.
Right. He told a story. And the way that he told the story was interesting and it was engaging. So when he's like rapping about a whole lot of nothing, like a car salesman or like a, you know, a funky preacher or whatever, like, yeah, he's like, he does like car salesman raps, yo. So he's talking real fast, trying to get you to like, you know, sign your name on this used car with 150,000 miles on it with a 38% interest rate or something. But so when he tells a story, I'm engaged, one. So he's telling a story on this, I'm engaged with the story. One, two, I like the beat. Three, I like him and Janae together.
I like them. I like them better later on. Okay. We'll talk about that.
Okay, but I like this record. This actually might be my favorite record on the album,
and it's my least favorite.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I take that back. It's one of my least favorites. I'll tell you, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's just not really good to me. It drags.
Shoot. You want to talk about a song that drags? Let's get into the next song.
Stay Down, which is probably the worst song on the album.
I don't like this
produced
song.
Produced by the Interns and LNF. You know, this is the shout out to my crew from back home song. It's not horribly it's not like poorly done. It's just not needed and totally useless.
I just don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. So instead, let's talk about this. And they're two separate songs, but they really should be combined because they're both DJ Mustard and Key Wayne. And they perfectly segue from one to another. So let's talk about I Know featuring Janae, which again is Mustard and Key Wayne. How do you feel about I Know?
It's cool. It's all right.
Get this on the radio right now.
This?
This is crazy.
This?
For lack of a better word, it's sexy.
I'm not going to respond to that. You and I cannot have conversations about what's sexy. We're just going to go ahead and keep that there.
This beat is both great and hilarious to me at the same time. It's hilarious because it's still slowed down DJ Mustard, complete with the Hey Chance and everything else.
Yeah, that's funny. That's like, you just couldn't leave well enough alone, could you?
But no, this record works completely. Mm. No? Their chemistry on this is so much better than Win Some, Lose Some. To me, this is an obvious single. Really don't like it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't like it. It's just whatever. Like, it's cool, but I'm not up to it. Funny. You're the first person I heard to say that. There's another record on down the line that people are like, this is the other home run.
Oh, I hope it's not what I think. Well, actually.
Nah, really? Okay.
All right, well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Get there.
And so I Know seamlessly goes into Deep featuring Lil Wayne. Mm. The second half of this, there's like a chunk of the sequencing here where it kind of slows down.
Yes.
And that's kind of my problem with the sequencing. Like, they could have done this better. Like, I know that, like, I Know and Deep should be together because they're the same producers and they're like, they blend seamlessly with one another, but they shouldn't have preceded it with Win Some, Lose Some, and Stay Down, because by this point you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
But I like this. I like Wayne on it. The beat is cool. It's not amazing, but I like this. This actually works. How do you feel about Deep?
It's all right.
Okay.
It's
okay.
It's very hard to talk and divulge into why something is mediocre. It's really easy to say why something. It's really easy to say why something is great, and it's really easy to say why something is terrible or whack or whatever. Why you don't like something, but if something is
you like Win Some, Lose Some better than I Know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to process that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting older, man. My taste is changing, man. Man, I don't know. I have a daughter who's about to go to middle school. Things will change.
You're like, I'm not trying to have her listen to records that Doc calls sexy.
Yeah. I'm not trying to listen to songs that Doc calls sexy.
All right. Let's talk about One Man Can Change the World.
Yes.
Featuring Kanye and John Legend.
Yes.
Produced by Amire Johnson and Mike O2, whoever those people
talk
are.
About you. We didn't even talk about your man Lonnie Lynn and John Legend winning, John Stevens winning the Oscar, did we?
Congrats to them, but I do not love that song.
Common is now in that category, the same category that we put Joey Badass in, the same category we put some other artists in. That was another conversation. I was talking about somebody offline. I thought we were talking about on the show. But Common at this point is loved for what he represents rather than what he does.
Mm.
So
he's an elder statesman.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is like the Common is not, I'm not going to call him like he's selling out. He's the safe Negro. I'm not going to say that at all because he's not that at all. I just think that there is a sect of of the community or that like accepts him. Like Common is, he's okay to bring around the family. He's a good guy. And that's not a diss at all. I don't know how that would be a diss in hip hop. It's not a diss at all. He's come a long way from Can I Borrow a Dollar? You know what I'm saying? Right. So, but nah, I mean, you know, honestly, I'm gonna keep it real. I haven't heard Glory. Other than like the credits of Selma. And I don't remember that because during the credits, I was talking to my friend about the movie. So I wasn't like listening to it. But I haven't heard the song. I just imagine it's John Legend with a Negro spiritual. There's some beat with like driving drums. And there's Common rapping about, you know, black people chasing glory for hundreds of years. Is that the song?
I'm not even going to comment on that. So how do you feel about One Man Can Change the World? If you were to describe a rap song that you would hope to play in front of Oprah, I feel like that's what One Man Can Change the World would sound like.
And then it was funny because I did see it on Twitter. I didn't listen, but Static Selecta, of course, did a remix where he added drums to it.
Can't help himself.
Like, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's
just like when I put a cardboard box out for my cat and he jumps in it. Static couldn't help himself.
Yeah, I feel it. Or, you know, when Rihanna puts out a record called 4 or 5 Seconds and DJ Mustard can't help himself. Putting beep, beep, boops in it.
Boop, beep, boop. Okay,
But I'm not crazy about this song.
I'm not crazy about the song. I mean, right. It's actually catchy, kind of. And well done for, I think, what they're trying to do. But it so obviously is the song that they want to get playing on the radio.
No, this is the song they want to get played on the radio. This is the song they want on commercials and in movies. Maybe. This is the licensing commercial. This doesn't make it on the radio.
No, I think this is, you're right. I take that back. This is the record that they want to go play on Ellen.
Yes. Well, Oprah was a better. I think Ellen's a little more accepting than Oprah.
It's true. It's very true.
So, you know, Oprah wouldn't have Nicki Minaj on her show.
You're right. Ellen might ask for, they might perform the Ariana Grande record on Ellen. But
right, exactly.
We'll talk about that.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean.
This record's okay.
It's like.
I understand why it's there.
It's like, yeah, but it's like the, I don't know, it's the, it's hard to explain. It's like the syrupy, sappy, like, yeah. It's that record. But, I mean, I get as a rapper, you want to make that type of record, like, you know, but.
Sometimes, I will give this one, I will give a particular criticism of Big Sean, which is like, all right, we get it. Like, you came up, you did
Thank
some stuff.
You.
Like, dude, like, can we get it. It's all good, man. You don't have
That's
to talk about
I'm
that
saying.
Anymore.
So now you've got 17 songs. You've got 4 albums of that same rhetoric. I came up. I got money. This is what I define success by. I got my mother. And that was the point that I was going to make in reference the line that Drake said or that Big Sean said. He said it on Win Some, Lose Some where he's like, you know, I think he said I took my mother from a hoopty to a Cadillac. But, you know, I've been signed for 4 years and I'm just now being able to do that or something like that.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it takes a while. And look at how successful Big Sean is. Singles wise, you know, he's on his way to, if he's not already somewhat of a household name. And, you know, like he's just now getting to a place where he can begin to buy things and take care of, you know, besides his other people, besides himself and his family. But then you've been rapping about getting money and stuff for the last 4 albums. So what are you doing?
Well, he was a rapper. He was rapping about money he actually didn't have.
My question is, are we still doing that in 2015?
Do you have to ask that question?
I'm asking rhetorically because, yeah, I'm not expecting you to.
Okay.
But like, fam, like, if anything, and we've talked about this at length and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but like Ferguson and just things that have happened within the last 18 months, like everyday man raps are, there's just a void, a huge void of a lane of people that you could cater your music and your art to. And we're still doing Money Cash Hoes in abundance. Money Cash Hoes Def, like still. And your talent, and it's like, whatever. So that's my problem. That there you go. You just cracked open the code. Thank you, Doc. Like it's not only the fact that he's redundant, but he's been redundant for so long. And here he is
5 years, 6 years into his like mainstream career, and like we're still here. I'm like, fam. So that's my problem. That's my problem.
So let's talk about the outro.
Okay.
Produced by DJ Dahi.
Yeah.
How you feel about this?
Yo, it's really weird that like this beat sounds completely different from the rest of the album. Like it sounds like some 2010, 2011 like stuff, and not really in a bad way, but it's just like it sticks out like a sore thumb because this album has such a sound. A very dark Travis Scotty, Days from Rodeo, Drake, Kanye, Yeezus, like this really dark sound. And then you get like this sample that just loops with sort of like a breakbeaty type vibe over it. And he just raps for 4 minutes. Like it's just, it sticks out like a sore thumb. I'm not sure if I like it yet or not. I don't know.
What?
I'm not sure.
That sample? Listen. Ugh. The whole beat is so dope. I love this record. How do you not like the sample? It comes on, it just makes you feel good. Okay. You are a tough critic.
Are you calling me tough? I'm offended that you're calling me
tough. Okay. Wow. So you don't like the outro then?
It's not that I don't like it. I'm just not crazy about it. Like, it's all right.
It's all right. So that's the end of the retail or the standard edition. And then there's three bonus tracks. So we got Deserve It featuring your favorite singer, Party Next Door, produced by Party Next Door. How do you feel about this? See, I think this record's really good. I think this is really good. Actually, Party's hook is probably the weakest part of this. I love the beat. I like Sean on it. I'd rather have this than Win Some, Lose Some, or Stay Down. No?
No.
Oh, that beat is great, though. Let's talk about a record that is getting some attention.
Yes.
Because it's got Ariana Grande on it. Research.
Yeah.
Produced by DJ Dahi and Metro Boomin, believe it or not.
Metro Boomin wants some money. Okay.
Right. I could have used Metro Boomin beat on here, actually. How do you feel about this?
Man, I like this record.
Yeah, you like Research? I like this record. Some Lose Some.
Yeah.
But you don't. You're not great on outro. My goodness.
Yeah. Nah. I like this record. I don't. It bothers me is the way Big Sean says research on the hook. Research. Research.
Research.
I hate that. But I like Ariana on it. Again, narratives. Narratives.
You like a story. Narrative.
I like the story. I like the beat. I guess it's cool. It's a dope record. I like it.
The beat is cool for what it is. It succeeds at being that kind of record. I actually don't like Ariana's hook. I still think she's trying to be Mariah Carey circa 94. Like,
she totally is. But you know, we just have to accept that.
Like, nah, listen, you're not running through a field and denim shorts. Like, this is not Daydream. Like, no.
She's not having visions of love.
No. You're not my hero.
You're not going to meet her on One Sweet Day?
That's when you go back and listen to One Sweet Day, you're like, this is the saddest song ever, man.
That is the saddest song ever.
Boys to Men songs are either really more sexual than you remember, or they're really sad.
They're really sad. Broken Heart is one of my favorite songs ever. Sad. Water Runs Dry. Sad.
It's So Hard to Say Goodbye.
Yeah, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye, sad. So what's their
One Sweet Day, so sad.
Super duper sad. Yeah.
And then on the flip side, man, I was really like 11, 12 years old thinking I was going to like find a girlfriend because I'll make love to you. And then you listen to those lyrics now and you're like, you talk about your daughter not listening to stuff. Man, Ooh. Listen.
Yes. 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 It's like, fam. Okay, when that record hit in 94?
Like 94, 95, yeah.
Jesus.
I know.
I was, yeah, man. Woo. You're right, though. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But, yeah, I mean, Ariana's just, that's just the direction they're going to go in because, you know, Mariah's not filling the Mariah void.
No.
They're going to give it to her. But she's, I don't know. My daughter watches Sam and Cat. So Ariana's like 12 years old to me.
Right.
So I'm like, is she dating Big Sean? I don't know. But this,
you're like the concerned father.
You sure about that? I'm very concerned. Absolutely. Because I don't want my daughter bringing home somebody who's double her age and she's 12 and she's bringing home somebody who's 24.
I can't wait till your daughter brings home her first rapper. It's going to be so great.
The way Charles Barkley said it, he said, if you kill the first one, where to get around? I'm like, yep. Gospel. Yeah, he brings around the first rapper and he's gonna see like the studio in my house or whatever. Like, so even if I do stop rapping, like I'm still gonna have the setup in the house just in case, you know. Yeah,
just in case your son wants to, you know.
Yeah, or maybe if I'm feeling it, just have some sort of creative outlet. He's gonna see that. Mm-mm.
There's going to be like, how Mr. Burns used to have the two Rottweilers. That's going to be in front of the studio. Like, you're not even going to, if you look inside of the studio.
You can be making diss tracks about him, like sending like subliminal, like just, nah, man, stay away.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, I'm going to have him think that we're cool. And I'm like, yeah, man, let's go on a record together. Like, I want you to hear this song. Let me just hear you.
And then you LL Cool J him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get back to this mic on my arm. It ever left my side to transform into a time bomb. Absolutely. So, whatever. But research. For a lot of people, this is like the other home run.
Right.
Aside from All Your Fault.
Yeah. Are you surprised that this is on the deluxe edition and not
incredibly, because Stay Down No could have completely, like, they could have switched both of those. I don't know why. You're with Ariana Grande, who's like, she's becoming a huge pop. She's on her way to being a huge pop star. If she's right. not, this is super, like, we're doing this for the radio.
Right.
This, the concept alone will transform it to, or transcend it to pop.
Right.
Like, why is this a bonus track? But I guess it doesn't matter because, you know, nowadays deluxe version is like a buzzword.
I actually think it's smart because it just means that, like, if you're an Ariana Grande fan and you're like, okay, so she's got this record with Big Sean, now you're gonna check out the deluxe edition.
But where's the standard version? That's my question. I'm about to look it up right now because Spotify does a great job. Like,
well, Spotify just always has the deluxe, but
they also have the standard too. So I remember specifically for like Nothing Was the Same, it has the standard version.
You're right, it does.
So yes, Dark Sky Paradise, the standard version is on Spotify as well as the deluxe. So, but if I go to Best Buy or if I go to Target to buy the CD, I'm not going to see the standard version. I'm only going to see the deluxe. That's my quote unquote problem with deluxe versions, even though they're not really deluxe versions. So I don't know. But yeah, this record's out of here and I don't mind it. I like it. It's cool.
Okay. And then the last record, Platinum of Wood, produced by Key Wayne.
Yeah.
Oh, first of all, that synth melody at the beginning, man, that's so dope. Secondly, I'm a sucker for songs that change speed.
Right, because one of your favorite songs was Murr's Batman, right?
Murr's Batman's dope.
Sped up. Twisted Heat.
You know I love Twisted Heat. I pulled that trick on what was that mixtape you did? What was the predecessor to the predecessor of Marcus Graham? It was
Havilland
Savage.
Nah, Havilland Savage was a second. Nina Mosley.
You did do that. Yeah. Okay, that's right around the time we linked back up because we did that Child of God like around the same time. Okay.
So hey,
you did do that.
That's a long time ago, man.
Oh, shoot. I mean, even Walking Contradiction.
Right. Yeah, that's called the I Don't Know What to Do Now. So.
Well, shout out to Pizzy who came up with that idea. So he was the one who was like, yo, because we live streamed that. And he was like,
right. Yeah. Not the, the record off Nina Mosley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was literally just like chopping samples.
Yep.
Back when I made beats, those were the old days. You know what I've actually been doing? I'm not sending any of these to you, but like, I sit down once or twice a day for like 10 minutes and just make something and then go back and come back to it later.
Yeah. Why not?
Keep moving. But anyway, so you don't like Platinum of Wood?
Yeah, it's all right.
Really? I just don't think you like Big Sean. I think that's really the lesson here after 15 tracks.
You say that? Say that again?
I just don't think you like Big Sean. I think that's the lesson.
That might be it. That could very well be true.
Given where Big Sean is right now, I don't... So, like, you know, I have issues with, like, the second half of the album. I think that, actually, frankly, all three of the deluxe editions should be just a part of the regular retail. I wish Fourth Quarter found a way to make it on here. But in general, like, considering where Big Sean's at, this is actually a pretty good album.
I would agree with that.
I know. Right. But the question is, the difference is you just don't think he's in a very good place right now.
No, I don't. I have no say so in what place I think he's in. He's just not for me. Mm. He's just not for me. So he's just not for me. But I agree with everybody saying like this is his best album because I mean, Finally Famous I didn't like, Hall of Fame I didn't like. Detroit was the only full length project that I liked,
right,
from him. So I mean, this is probably about right. I think that might just be it. Like I'm just not a Big Sean fan.
Yeah, I don't think Big Sean's for you.
It just for me, like I want to make it a point to make sure to give time to albums and projects time. And if the project doesn't deserve the time or if it's not for me, like, I don't know if I'm going to put that much effort into it.
You're not feeling these track by track reviews the week after?
No. I'm not talking about for Clock Radio Speak. Talking about that. I mean, just like I said earlier, it's really hard if the song is like mediocre or if it's not for me. It's hard to explain why it's not for me other than like, I just don't like, I think that was the big thing about this show. Like, not only do we give people a lot of information, ultimately for the listeners, I want the listeners to go out and formulate their own opinion. Like, and sometimes I just can't articulate my opinion. Like, I just don't like it, or I do like it, or I'm whatever on it. And that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Cause right. One of the ways to process music is to feel it. Like, sometimes I just don't feel it. Sometimes I just don't feel it.
That's how I'm about Win Some, Lose Some. It's not that I don't like it. It's just I don't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's real. Like, that's a valid excuse. Or not excuse. It's a valid reason for not liking something or liking something.
Right.
Like, you don't feeling this. That's what we say. I'm feeling this or I'm not feeling this. And it's just, I'm just not feeling it.
And for me, like, in particular, I mean, I'm going to pick on that song. But, like, in general, like.
You are picking on the song.
I should. Because he could have made some small changes. And this would actually be like, if you imagine like how good of an album could Big Sean make right now, he actually came pretty close to that.
I mean, this is probably his best album, even though I've met this entire project. This is,
yeah,
still,
I mean, but aside from Detroit, you've basically met his entire catalog.
I mean, you know.
It's funny because like the difference between him, his album, and Drake's project is that this is much more like, I don't know if I like this more than I like Drake's project. I know I've been listening to it more this week. That's because of the show, right? I do know that if you think about what each artist is capable of, I feel like this is closer to the peak of what he's currently capable of than Drake's project was. Drake's capable of a lot more than he gave us on that project.
But I think,
and I realize that I'm grading on a curve, but I can't help but be influenced by that.
I'm very curious to see the discussion. I want to see where If You're Reading This Is Too Late falls when Views from the Six drops.
Right. And we talked about that. Like, in a sense, Drake's kind of at this interesting point right now. Like, is this just going to be, he wanted to, you know, number one, it was, he wanted to get a mixtape out that he could count as an album to get off Cash Money. And, you know, is that why this exists? Or is he really trying to prove to everybody that he's a serious rapper?
Right.
Because that has really interesting implications for Drake's career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes as an artist, you can be so thirsty for the approval or the validation from your peers and your contemporaries that you lose sight of everything else. And that could be possibly something that Drake does.
Right. And one last thing on Big Sean. After the success of I Don't F With You, on his next album, I don't want to see a record like Stay Down.
It's a very, that's the thing. I was actually, it's funny. I was listening to The Breakfast Club. So The Breakfast Club is what's that? Syndicated here in the morning.
Oh, okay.
And they, sometimes I listen to it on the way to work. And DJ Envy played a new record with Troy Ave, Young Buck, and 50 Cent. And the one thing about 50 that I realized was 50 held on to the hood too much. Mm. He was too self-aware of his image to where the point where he was supposed to cross over, he couldn't because he wanted to be 50 Cent. 50 Cent is Marlo. 50 Cent is Marlo. In the he's at the party. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched The Wire, turn this off and go watch The Wire right now. But, you know, he's at the party. He's uncomfortable. He goes outside. He goes back out and he sort of establishes himself, his dominance on his two kids on the corner. Like, he just couldn't escape it. 50 was the same way. And sometimes rappers, and in this case, Big Sean, did that with the record like Stay Down. Like you're supposed to progress. And you can rep Detroit and all that stuff and represent them on a totally different plateau. You may not even know that Detroit exists. And he can do that with records like Research and what's the other record? Play No Games. Be especially with Research. And then even because we were talking about, now think about it, we were talking about him on the Justin Bieber single. Mm. Like, Sean has crossover appeal where when he does these records, it's not a stretch.
Right.
So now it almost seems like it's a reverse stretch to do a record like Stay Down. Like, why are you doing a record like Stay Down? Like, remember, what was the first single that Sean had? Bullishing, like BSing. It was just very like,
I don't remember. I thought it was the record with Chris Brown, My Last.
Nah. Cause My Last was the first, like, that one sort of blew up. But like, I remember initially they were going to put out BSing or whatever as a single. And it was like, this is a new artist and I'm trying to make a single. It was like, J. Cole's, Who That? Like, okay. It was an attempt to be commercial, right, or whatever. Right. And J. Cole just being J. Cole and progressing as an artist, you know, becomes commercial single. Same thing with Big Sean. So a record like Stay Down and like, you don't need to make those records anymore. Hmm. But he felt like he needed to, probably because, like Kevin Durant, we talked about on Side A, he's probably around a lot of people that he grew up with, and they're not thinking like him because they haven't seen as much as he's seen. And they're like, you need to make a song for the hood, you need to make a song for us, da, 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 da. And he's like, all right, stay down. Thanks, guys, for staying down. Appreciate it. But like, we don't need that from Big Sean. Hmm. We don't need it. I really did not plan on saying this much about this album. It kind of makes me mad that I ended up talking about this album that much.
This is why we do the show. One other thing, though, is, you got anything else you want to say about this album? How do you think it'll do?
Very interesting question. I don't know.
Do we have a prediction up yet on Hits Daily Double?
I mean, it just came out today. The prediction will probably be out tomorrow or later on tonight, like midnight. He kind of reminds me of J. Cole, where like he does like these numbers that you don't expect him to do. Is he going to do J. Cole numbers? Probably not. But I wouldn't be surprised if he hit two.
You see, Drake's not number one anymore.
Who beat him?
Imagine Dragons.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Drake's second week was only 128. That's a heck of a fall off. 74%.
Number one, everybody's falling off. Two, I think everybody who got the album, again, it was a moment. Mm-hmm. Everybody who got the album got it in that moment.
Okay. You're right. It was definitely a moment.
So you got it within that moment. And if you didn't buy it, you definitely streamed it on Spotify. I mean, Jesus, 17.3 million right. streams, whatever. And then you bootlegged it. So everybody has it.
Okay.
For real. Share Beast Records. Like, this was, it is what it is.
Okay. I mean, well, then one thing we forgot to talk about, but it's hip hop related, so we'll talk about it real quick. We'll end the show with this.
Is this going to be on a somber note like we did Side A?
Let's talk about the two Just Blaze beats.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this might be somber for you because...
So tell people what I'm talking about.
All right, so Just Blaze, on a whim, I guess he found like a hard drive or something with some beats. And these were beats from back in like the Megatron Don days. I don't know if a lot of our listeners remember that, but like Just Blaze had a YouTube channel, TV, and he had a website. He had a blog called themegatrondon.com. So this is back like when they were working on the Saigon album. This is very early J Electronica, Kingdom Come, like the tail end of the Rockefeller era, the beginning of like Presidential J. This is like the era that president, what do you call, like President Hove or President Carter? That's what they call him.
Just stop it.
I'm sorry. That's what they did. So for people like me who hold Just Blaze in a very high regard, that was a great time. So there's like, I guess like all the videos got deleted off of YouTube, but a couple got salvaged. So there's a video of Just Blaze making a Help on the Way with T.I. and then them not clearing the Barry White sample at the last minute, and they had to replay it. So he gets it at the last minute and they clear it. There's them doing Come On Baby for Saigon and them having an argument about whether Saigon should say more than just mics or more than a mic. There's, you know, the Rico TZO, which is like the greatest internet video ever. There's 1500 or Nothing playing over Show Me What You Got. They're recording the drums. There's a whole bunch of stuff. The Why You Hate the Game choir, him directing the choir. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So like these beats are from this era. So he put out two of the beats, which is supposed to be, one was Dear Moleskine Part 2, Moleskine's Conclusion. And then there was another beat called Miracle. And I don't remember. I didn't read, I guess on the SoundCloud, the stories are behind them and I didn't read them. I'm actually pulling them up now. But yeah, so he just put the two beats out for, you know, BD McBeat guys like myself who just like to listen to beats and imagine what it would be like to be in a, yep, here it is. Jay asked, this is Miracle. Jay asked me to hold this for him and Jeezy. Ross did something with it. Chris Brown wanted it badly, but couldn't find the right vocal flow once we got in the studio. Kanai Finch wanted to pass it to Cole, but it was held up by someone else who actually cut me a check for it. Then it ended up just sitting, and I was weird about playing it for folks. Everyone who heard it thought it was amazing, but couldn't come up with a song to it. Understandable, because there's a lot going on. Yeah. And I agree with Miracle on that. There's a lot going on in Miracle. Like, you can't rap to that.
I don't like it.
I know you don't.
No, no.
I know you don't. But this is in the same vein. I didn't like Miracle the first time I heard it. I listened to it again and I liked it. Same thing with Dear Moleskine. Because like with these records, you almost have to put yourself back in 2006, 2007.
When dark time for hip hop.
But not a dark, dark time for Just Blaze.
He was not in his prime.
Come on, baby. It's one of his best beats. Saigon meets Just Blaze.
You want to talk about a record that has not aged well? Go listen to Come On Baby.
It aged well because of Saigon.
I don't think it aged well because it just sounds...
It's hard. That sounds
It sounds...
Saigon meets Just Blaze.
Come On Baby sounds great for the first 20 seconds. And then you're like, oh, okay. So this is what's happening. Look, that's hard for me to say. You and I, we were driving the Just Blaze bandwagon, but... You know,
I still drive it. He's one of my goats, so I'm biased.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like Miracle though, and I don't like Dear Moleskine. But then again, or not Dear Moleskine, Moleskine. So,
what?
In fact, I don't even know if I could point to a single J Electronica thing I really like. So,
wow, you didn't like Exhibit C at least?
Exhibit C is one of the most overrated beats in
hip
hop.
Oh God, this concludes this episode of Clock Radio Speakers. You are. Bugging.
It's okay. It's not even in Just Blaze's top 25.
Ooh.
Not even close.
No, it's in its top 20 just.
No.
We might need to do a Just Blaze retrospective.
It's not a bad idea. Hold on. You want to do this right now? Because I...
Okay, let's... It's his production credits on Wiki.
Yeah, we're going. We got a production discography. All right, hold on. We're going to ignore like everything from 99 because, you know, as much as I enjoyed, I really like it.
Okay.
I'm joking. I'm being sarcastic here. Right.
Okay.
All right, so.
We're just going to ignore 2002.
No, because Dynasty intro.
No. Okay, Dynasty intro.
Streets is talking.
Stick to the script. Soon you'll understand.
Right.
I liked We Get Low.
Yeah.
I like the understanding.
I like Diamond.
Yes. Diamond was dope.
Mom Praying
wasn't... Am I bugging?
Mom Praying was dope.
Oh, I'm bugging. Okay, you're in 2001.
I'm in 2001.
Okay, yeah. No, Mac Trick? No, that song, that beat was crazy. Mom Praying was dope. What's Your Life Like 2 was nuts.
Yeah. Girls, You Don't Know, Song Cry, Breathe Easy.
Three of those are in his debatables in his top 10.
Right.
Definitely You Don't Know in Song Cry.
Rock the Mic, It's Not Right.
Oh, you're just going to ignore Mob Be Easy, huh?
Yeah, I am.
I'm joking.
Like, he has a lot of records better than Exhibit C.
It's Not Right, Just Fire.
Right. Welcome to New York City. I Am Dame Dash. Listen.
Hey, that's your goat. I know. All Right.
Hovey Baby. Meet the Parents. Show You How.
I forgot about Lollipop. Oh, my God.
We all forgot about Lollipop.
Woo.
I really mean it. What We Do. Look at all the stuff off Philadelphia Freeway.
Stop.
Look at all this.
We just have to do a Just Blaze.
That's fine, but you can't listen. That's why I'm saying Exhibit C is a good song. It's not a great song.
Nah,
and it's nowhere near his top 25. I revised just looking at this list.
Nah, you bugger.
Can't Let You Go remix?
Yo, that was my joint. I wanna be with you. Nah, that was my joint. Shout out to Mike Shorey, wherever he is.
Oh, can't goodness. Forgot about... Yeah, you know it. Oh, Keith Murray.
Oh, man. That was when React was a thing.
Yeah.
Is there really a
Nick Cannon record called Get Crunk Shorty with Ying Yang Twins?
Yes. And I had the instrumental. I think Fat Man Scoop was on it,
yep,
too.
Yep, he was.
Oh, the Let's Go off the NBA Live with the beat was the... The dribbling and the... Yeah.
All right.
It's the year 2003. I'll put Pump It Up in Just Blaze's top 20.
No.
Yes. Like, say what you want about that record. That's such a polarizing record. But that beat was amazing. And it's one of the most lyrical party records you'll find.
And that concludes this week's episode.
Nope.
All right. So maybe we need to talk about this, but Exhibit C is cool, but...
Get crunk, shorty. Okay. Then I have to play this now.
Oh, but he did a record for Jin just called Club Song? That's amazing. We didn't even talk about Throwback, by the way.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not wearing enough jerseys for that song.
Ah, right. You smelled, like, yo, you smelled the Mitchell and Ness. You smelled the swing man coming off that beat.
Oh, no more hand claps, please. All right. Please.
Yeah, we got to do it. Yeah, we got to
do it. All right. Anything else you want to talk about this week? Since we just talked about Just Blaze for 10 minutes.
Yep, been in love. Yeah. We got. Oh, dang, he did do a... Oh, Jin. All right, shout out to Jin.
Nope. All right. Excellent. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Side B of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. Side A, clockradiospeakers.com. He is Armand Wakeup. You can follow him on Twitter at Armand Wakeup, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wakeup, all one word. I am Doc_Beats on Twitter. The show is at CRS Podcast. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers and debate us about everything we said on the show because we love it. Thank you to everybody who's been commenting and liking us on SoundCloud, everybody who's leaves reviews on iTunes. We love it. And everybody who interacts with us on Twitter, we really appreciate it. You got anything else you want to say, man?
Yep.
You mean nope?
And this was on the Ying Yang Twins album. Woo! Okay, but I don't have anything else to say. Y'all have a good
one. All right. Thank you, everybody.